Welcome to MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui, your expert host on all things medical marketing and SEO.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of MedShark Insider. And today I've got Quentin Gunn, and Quentin is a longtime friend of mine, colleague. We were competitors at one time, but again, he's one of those people you meet that I've never really seen as a competitor.
No,
we've actually shared business back and forth together, Absolutely. Shared clients. So I'm really privileged to have him on today. He's going to take some time, and we're going to talk about one of the things that I think practices are looking more for, and he has become an expert in it. It is in the social media strategies that medical and plastic surgery, cosmetic practices need to be embracing, because there is no question we live in a social media world today, especially amongst cosmetic patients. So welcome, Quentin. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah,
and just give everybody a little bit of background, kind of where you came from and what you're doing now.
All right. Well, I started with a company probably back in 2000 called Mojo Interactive. Mojo Interactive was a website designing company for the American Academy of Ophthalmology at the time. Mm-hmm. From there, their request was, do we have any way of assisting them with driving leads? So a strategy was developed called Locate a Doc. And Locate a Doc, for a period of time, was really doing a fantastic job of driving leads for the ophthalmologist. It then grew to like 34, 35 different specialties, because the model could be duplicated. And of course, organically, Google was ranking us because of all the content we had, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Long story short, the company went through some flux. Decisions were made that, you know, sometimes decisions get made that don't benefit everyone. Right. At which point, having been there for probably 13 years off and on, I just came to a conclusion that with the experience, the contacts, the understanding of the net that I had, it would be in my benefit probably to see what I could do out there on my own.
Yeah.
Ergo 2016, I started Social Media Solutions for Doctors. I was really trying to get Locate a Doc to move into the social realm, because at that time, Facebook was just really starting to get going. Right. And I thought, if the company is going to survive, we have to move into the future. They did not necessarily value that outline. And so adjustments were made where I focused on that. So now I'm doing social media for multiple practices. We do a lot of their lead gen through social media. We grow their audience. We grow their influence model, helping them with content, expecting them and showing them how to go live with social media. What are the best times to do that? What are customers looking for? So if you've got a specialty, what are customers looking to learn from you and about you? And there's always really three major points that we focus on: like, know, and trust. So what are the like, know, and trust factors of your organization? Mm-hmm. Because if they don't know about you, they can't like you. They don't. Social media gives you a chance to be yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You can structure it where you can, of course, provide them with your branding on a consistent basis. But social media, people are social. So they want to get to know you. Let them get to know you. After, you know, so as we have developed that strategy, of course, lead gen goes with that. You can use a number of mechanisms that go with that, with creating the lead volume. But I think the viral nature of social media is probably one of the most important aspects of it. Viral in that you can touch people inside of your universe virtually. So if Sally likes an ad that was posted on their page, or they saw the ad, they clicked it. Well, Sally's audience gets exposed to that ad because Sally liked it. Then the viral nature of that keeps going, because if someone else in Sally's group like that, they click it, then their audience gets exposed. So,
you know, it's that whole thing of birds of a feather flock together. I mean, if you're reaching the right person, they're probably connected with the right people too.
There it is. And what you'll notice is when you do your Facebook ads or you're doing a boost, it'll ask you what kind of people are you looking for? People that will communicate with you, people that will share, or people that will buy. So basically you've got tiers of how you can shape what you want the end result of your boost or your ads to reflect.
Makes perfect sense. You know, one of the things you talked about is lead gen through social media. Okay. And that is one of the areas where I get a lot of questions where, you know, from practices that say, you know, we've got a big following. We got, you know, X thousand of followers, yet, you know, we really don't get a lot of leads per se, you know, from, and we're spending, I've got a full-time, you know, a gal in-house doing all this stuff. So I'm paying her to do this. I've got, you know, a digital marketing company that's supposed to be doing stuff with social media. How would you say for a practice that's looking to get lead gen off of social media, what are strategies or suggestions or tips? How can they turn that audience into actually more engagement or actually leads?
Okay, so understand, first of all, when you're doing lead generation with social media, understand that the ads you've created are indirect approaching of people. In other words, you create the ad, you identify the demographic of people you want to post to, age range, region, and what services that they're interested in, okay?
Right.
So now, once you've got that idea, then you create two different types of ads. You can go with a funnel ad that takes people down a pathway. You say yes to this, then it takes you there. You say no to that, it takes you there. Or you can do a funnel survey. And the funnel survey says, I'm interested in this procedure, but it starts asking consultation questions. How long have you been interested? Has this been an issue for you for what period of time? Have you seen another doctor? How soon would you like to have this procedure activated?
Right.
And would you like to schedule a consult? Would it be okay if someone contacted you? Now, in both cases, I would strongly recommend that a doctor would put a video in either one of those or both. And the reason is because we're still working on that like, know, and trust factor, right? So if they've never met you and all you give them is a survey with an ad, then that's not social.
Right.
That's advertising.
Yeah.
But if in the survey or the ad, you put an introduction that's probably about 30 to 45 seconds. Hello, I'm Dr. Smith. Welcome to XYZ Medical Practice. Here, we provide boom, 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 boom. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for completing our survey. Please feel free to reach out to us once you're done. Something as simple as that. But what that does is it's an introduction. Lets them see you. Who are you? Why should I trust you? How long have you been doing this? Right? So in your little vignette, you can activate what you perceive the most critical parts to consumers who are wanting to engage with you. Nine times out of 10, if you're doing an analysis of your consults, you can see what the average consistent questions are.
Uh-huh.
And you can create within your survey or your funnel form some of those questions. Why are you going to do that? Because ideally, you want to create a consultation before the consultation.
Right.
Because that solidifies the power of the lead once it comes. Mm-hmm. So if you've got some basic questions that are always asked inside of your patient care coordinator setup that right. are not overly personal, but they may relate to medical,
right.
then you want to get those answered through that survey form, mm-hmm. right? And it's just a clicking of the button. Yes, no, what time period, how long, does it weigh this much or that much? Is it your hips, your shoulders, your breast? Is it right. your eyes, right? So once they click those, when the survey form comes in, then a call is made.
Mm-hmm.
Speed to lead is still critical. It will always be critical because if they filled out your form, they probably filled out someone else's. So mm-hmm. your staff's real driver is to get to that lead as quickly as possible.
Right.
And oftentimes, if you don't get to the lead quickly, they end up being a lead you're chasing, right? Mm-hmm. Because that person is sitting there at the computer, they submitted a lead. Now you've got the lead, but you don't follow up for 24 hours. They may not be available then.
Right.
Strike
one. Or it may not be of interest to them anymore.
Absolutely.
There's something that made them act now.
Yes.
And that may no longer be, you know, the priority at this time in my attention.
That is correct. So here, the other thing I would tell people, when you deal with social media, you have to look at it in two ways. You got to look at the way Google operates and the way Facebook operates. So Google is, I know what I want. Now I want to find where I'm going to get it. And I'm going to send a request for an appointment, right? Mm-hmm. So that's finding what you're looking for. That's what Google's doing.
Right.
Facebook is talking about what you found. Oh, yeah. I heard that this place is really good.
Uh-huh.
Sally liked it. Wow, Sally liked this place. Let me look at the reviews. Mm-hmm. What are they saying there? Wow, look at some of those pictures. Did you catch the video, right? So there's Google helps you find what you're looking for. Facebook is where you talk about what you found. And then word of mouth spreads virally through your post and through your ads.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're talking about is really multi-channel marketing where, you know, it's not just one, I see something, I act on it. You know, we all know that consumers, especially when it comes to surgery, they're in the buying cycle for a period of time. This is not
Absolutely.
A, ooh, I got this idea and I'm having surgery next week. That's not how this happens. And I think that what you're talking about, this process that people go through,
yes.
is, you know, getting an idea. I mean, I think the society has done research where I think I last heard as long as 3 years that somebody will take
be in the system
where it's actually, you know, an interest to them to the time they actually, you know, have the procedure, you know, done. So all these things that you're talking about percolating and researching and reviews and, you know, all of those things kind of accumulate. So a lot of the patients that people are signing up today, it's not that they just signed up today. They've been in the market for a little bit.
Absolutely.
And all the things that you're talking about need to take place in order for you to earn the opportunity to get the consult and ultimately the surgery.
Right. And again, it goes back to those three points, like, know, and trust, right?
Yeah.
So the more they see you, if you're doing a personal, if you're being personable and fun and energetic, then they get to like you, they get to know you. And over time, they begin to trust you. Mm-hmm. Now, there are great benefits with social media, and then there are difficulties with social media. What are the benefits? Well, the benefits are, again, we described one, which is viral marketing. The other thing that we described is the ability to create forms that can mimic your consultation. Mm-hmm. The other thing that is a benefit is that you can introduce yourself before they ever come to your practice, right?
Right.
So that's a great opportunity. Well, what are the challenges of social media? Well, first of all, when your ad comes or your lead comes, it is not a direct result of me searching for it. Mm-hmm. Facebook is often a direct result of someone creating an ad and then trying to identify through targeting if people are interested, right?
Right.
So once you determine that, then the next measure is, how do I get them to go to the next step, right? And the only way to do that is through a process. Mm-hmm. Get the lead, send a text, SMS preferably, mm-hmm. make a phone call. The SMS text is just a touch to say, Sally, I see you are interested. Someone will get back to you as quickly as possible. Phone call, right after that text goes in, hey, Sally, I'm glad we were able to catch you before you got away. Tell mm-hmm. me a little bit about why you clicked on our ad. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
If Sally's not there, then you go to step four. You're going to send Sally an email and mm-hmm. you're going to say, hey, Sally, thank you so much for filling out our ad. We really appreciate the time you've mm-hmm. taken. Tell us a little bit more about your needs. And we'd love to do a consultation I usually like to use the term, if it is determined this is a good fit for you, mm-hmm. because you don't know who's behind door number one. You don't want to assume that any person that right. you get is a buy, because mm-hmm. they still have to be qualified.
Sure.
So once you get that email out, if you get no response, you call again, mm-hmm. right? But a different time, not the same time. Mm-hmm. Just try a different time. But my point being that social media leads take a little longer to close, and mm-hmm. probably more of them are needed because of that time factor. Remember, all Google says is, I know what I want. Where am I going to go to get it? Mm-hmm. Social media says, hey, look at me. I got something here you might be interested in.
Right.
Talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would always say that you're right. When practices talk about, you know, I'm not closing a lot of my social media leads like I am with my Google ads or with my yeah. organic leads that I get through, through the website. And I'm like, well, you got to understand that you're reaching people at different stages of the buying cycle.
Exactly.
And I would say social media in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, like you're saying, it's just an introduction to what it is that I might be interested in,
exactly.
have an interest in or a desire for. So yeah, they're higher or top of the funnel kinds of stuff. But when I'm actually, Google used to, I don't think they use this terminology anymore. But they used to call it zero moment of truth. When I'm going yes. to Google and I'm looking for a provider, I'm looking to do something, I'm where I'm going to buy it and who I'm going to buy it from, that was what Google always referred to as that zero moment of truth. But that was, regardless of what you want to call it, it's later in the stages of decision-making.
Exactly. The research has been done.
Yes, the research has already been done, or they're in the middle of it.
Yes.
So, I think there's, but you got to be reaching them at all stages, because they may not even get to you on when they get to Google, if you're not really optimized, if you're not one of those top five or six websites or something in a marketplace, they may Google. So sometimes what we're finding with really effective social media practices is the vast majority of traffic coming to those websites are not these quote vanity searches.
Absolutely.
They're branded searches. They're looking for the doctor's name. They're Googling the practice name or something, and they're coming and finding their websites because they're almost, you know, like you said, I like them. You know, I'm familiar with them. You know, all those things, you've done the heavy lifting to some degree. So now all of a sudden when they go to search, they don't have to look for breast augmentation. They can look for doctor's name.
Exactly.
You know, so I think there's a combination of all that kind of stuff happening.
Well, here's another interesting aspect to social media. It's my belief that email addresses are the lifeblood for any practice. It's the oil in the engine, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas Google will give you people who are more likely to buy, mm-hmm. Facebook sets your pipeline up really nicely because mm-hmm. it is opening the door to a vignette of opportunity, mm-hmm. right? So when you're doing your funnels or your survey funnels or your leads forms, you're getting email addresses. Well, those mm-hmm. email addresses should be loading into your MailChimp or your Constant Contact, right? Mm-hmm. Then if you've got prospects who haven't closed, mm-hmm. but are still open to hearing from you, mm-hmm. they get a newsletter every month. Mm-hmm. Top of mind, you can talk about promotions or what the doctor's doing, staff, whatever it is, but you stay top of mind. Mm-hmm. So I tell the doctors, like you said, yeah, these are top of the funnel people, but mm-hmm. you keep touching them because you want your pipeline as full as you can get it, mm-hmm. right? Now, typically we will do an analysis of how many leads we're generating for them socially. And then of that number, how many closes do they have? Right. And we have a system that we've created called the lead automation system. It's a very robust system. You can do everything in there, track conversations, phone calls, dollar value of the prospect. And mm-hmm. we do something a little different in terms of how we measure the dollar value of a lead. We used to believe that if a lead cost you $50, $75, $200, depending on the specialty, that's what the value of that lead is. But that actually isn't accurate. Mm-hmm. If that prospect closes, the dollar value of that lead is the actual cost of the procedure.
There's no question.
Right? So there's a misnomer right now, I think, just in terms of how we're telling the doctors we measure. Mm-hmm. We tell them, bottom line is, if we sent you 50 leads and those leads were for a procedure that's $4,500, mm-hmm. then the value of that lead is this big number, right?
Right.
Why do we do that? Because we want the doctor to motivate, encourage, strongly suggest, follow up. If mm-hmm. If we say 5,500 times 50 and you're not closing but one or two, mm-hmm. that big dollar number that's sitting out there for these leads, that's bugging mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to go back to Sally and he's going to say, Sally, look, we got all these leads in here and this is the value. How come we're not closing them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I think you're right. I think there's, it's kind of like the difference between having the stick or the carrot. You know, do you want to say the value or do you want to say the cost?
Yeah.
Now, when we say cost, that's pain. It cost me this much to get it. That's pain. But the carrot, which I think is much more powerful, is what are the opportunity costs? You know,
yeah,
the opportunity that's sitting out there that we're not realizing. That's coming and walking past our front door. Okay,
and
that's
if we close these, and if we close these, this is the projected revenues mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we could expect
yeah.
for the month, for the week, for whatever period of time you're measuring.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing too is Now, all of a sudden, I don't have to close every one of them. Now, even a 5%, 6% improvement.
Yes.
Do the math. Do the math on those opportunities. Even a 5% improvement.
Yes.
At these different stages of the sales cycle, improve 5% here, 5% there, 5% there. And what does that add up at the end of the month, end of the year? And we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and it's the, you know, again, social media leads are not designed to immediately close like Google leads. People have to remember that. Mm-hmm. Google leads are down in the funnel. I know what I want. I'm just deciding who's going to give it to me.
Right.
Facebook is, hey, I got something here. Mm-hmm. You want to take a look at it? Is this of interest to you? Mm-hmm. And Facebook will target people who have demonstrated an interest. Mm-hmm. Now, I did want to bring something up because it is coming down the track and it's actually going to be happening in the next week or two. So Apple has made an adjustment to their privacy rules and what you as a Facebook, as a Google can get from Apple customers. So what will happen is a prospect will get an offer and in their Apple phone or their computer, it will ask that consumer, would you like to provide them your information?
Oh, it's, okay.
It's gonna, and I can send you the article, Bill, but it's actually ongoing. It literally, it could cost billions of dollars because they're creating a very tight biosphere within Apple of consumers. Yeah. I have an inkling at some point. And they've got the money to do it, they could create their own search engine just for their group, right? So they're restricting the amount of information marketing companies are able to access from their Apple users, whether it be mobile or desktop. What's the problem with that? Well, Facebook uses a lot of that data, and so does Google, to determine leads, profiles.
Right.
So if that goes away by people saying, no, I don't want to receive this stuff.
Yeah.
They and the thing is, people won't even know that they're turning it off.
Yeah.
It's not going to be explained to them in a way that you would have expected.
Yeah.
So this is an article I'll email to you, but I think
please do. I'll look forward to it.
You're going to be like, whoa, because it is a paradigm shift of major proportion. The next thing that's on the frontier, which you probably already know, in the next coming month or year, if you do organic, Google is going to slice off a section and charge you $50 or $75 a month to get what you've already been getting, but you'll be in a tier from the bottom. So from the bottom, you'll go up in tier, not quite paid, but not organic either.
Right.
Right. So they're going to start charging, if I recall the article, $50 a month. Well, if you've got 100,000 businesses, And this will pick up those non-advertisers, actually.
Right.
For a low cost of $50, we can put you in tier one of the organic placement. Now, 100,000 people at $50 a month. So I think Google anticipated this change, and they're looking for ways to offset their losses.
Right.
So I'll get those two articles to you, but I think the other issue that's coming is the government itself is honing in on social media companies. They're honing in on Apple, big tech, and they perceive them as too invasive.
Right.
That's the perception. Mm-hmm. You get all this information. Are you protecting it? Are you selling it, etc.? So there's some roads up ahead, I think, as marketing agencies and marketing companies, we are going to have to adjust.
Yeah.
And within this next 6 months to a year, it'll be major adjustments for most of us.
Yeah. You know, and you know, along that line, in terms of changes and, you know, increased opportunities, hopefully, for practices, you know, we're also big. My parent company, MedShark, is also partnered with Blue Shark Digital, which is a legal in the legal space. And one of the things that they've experienced there is that Google's really pushed, and we found really effective, you know, return on investment are the local service ads, the LSA ads.
Yes.
You'll see they're not available to medical and dental, you know, professionals yet. It's pretty much, man, they probably have a dozen different categories for just lawyers. But anything from plumbers or anybody that offers a service, you know, and I do see at some particular point them possibly getting into medical. And the thing with the LSA ads is you got to somewhat be screened. You got to go through a screening process in order to even, you know, place your,
participate
in those ads, and reviews become a big part of that.
Wow.
Reviews are a big part of those LSAs. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking down the road ahead of time and those LSAs are charged not by the click, but by the lead. So these are actually leads that are coming in. That's how Google's charging you. The good news with that is we're finding that the, with clients, the cost per lead on those LSAs are a lot lower.
Wow. I mean,
you know, where
even the AdWords
than the AdWords, you know, when just paying for the click, by the time that turns into an actual lead,
right,
man, you can spend, you know, especially in lawyers, their competition is significantly higher than medical. So it's not unusual to see cost per leads in the $200 range.
Wow.
Whereas some of these LSAs, I've got a practice out in a firm down in Miami, and their cost per lead is about $60.
That's awesome.
Huge difference.
Yeah,
huge
that's difference, awesome.
You know, so, but I agree. There's so many things happening. You know, one last thing that I wanted to touch on that you might be able to give me a little more insight on as well. We are, you know, obviously I'm in the website design and SEO. That's our core services.
Right.
In terms of integrating, I love the concept of this use of the word like. I've used for many years this sense of likability. Your website has, you know, at some particular point, it's not about the prettiest photos. It's not about the coolest or the most, you know, outrageous before and afters. At some particular point, there's got to be a sense of, I kind of like this guy, or I kind of like this surgeon, or I kind of like this practice. There's something I like about them, you know, that likability thing. So, and I think that stems a lot from social media.
Of course it does.
That's
and it's a signal, believe it or not. Your social media is a signal on Google, right? Frequency. I tell all my clients, they say, well, why do you have us post so frequently? I said, posting once a day is not frequent. It's keeping you top of mind. You're an information resource. If people aren't blocking you and your audience is still growing, then obviously that one post a week or one post a day is beneficial. But you only need to do it 5 days a week if you choose. Mm-hmm. My point being, you don't want to, at least my observation has been, if you're posting 2 and 3 times a day, you're an unwelcome visitor on the social page. Right. You're overwhelming me. But if you pop in once a day, hey, how are you? You're developing consistent, frequent touches, which increase likability. Right. And the thing that that Facebook has done is really, I've helped a practice start just using Facebook without a website.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that.
But Google My Business is starting to develop those same things, and they're now integrating reviews. They're creating web chat leads from map searches, right? You search for a map. Google now has a tool that says, would you like to speak to someone at this location? So it's evolving. I think Google My Business is Google Plus was a bomb. So they reworked it to Google My Business, which in my opinion is starting to mimic the social world.
Yeah. There's no, that is their form of social media.
Absolutely.
That is Google's. It, I mean, when they shut down Google Plus, it's not that Google didn't see value in social engagement, engaging with their users and businesses users through their platform. They're just trying to find another way of channeling that energy or that interest or those desires.
They just had
in
to
a different
do a
way.
Reset.
But I would say the Google My Business, there's no question that that is Google's form of social media, and they're adding a lot more to it. The, you know, the one thing when I assess a practice's online presence, it is looking at the reviews. But number one, are you responding to the reviews? I go into and look at the reviews. I see a lot of practices that haven't engaged with one review. And the problem with that is not that, you know, I always hear practices that say, oh, well, I got to address this negative review. And they're so fixated on the negative reviews, they miss the biggest opportunity. And this kind of goes along to what you said earlier to me offline was it's the positive. It's the energy. It's the people that bring more opportunities to you. And those are referrals. Okay.
Absolutely.
Focus your resources on your greatest assets and opportunities, not on your biggest problems. Start engaging with those positive reviews, because guess what? They get an email from Google that says XYZ surgeon has responded to your review. Click here to view it. And now all of a sudden there's that engagement that you talked about in social media. Is
now here's the other crazy part, Bill. What's funny to me is when they do that, when they engage, whether it's a positive or negative review, other consumers see those responses and they then make an assumption that this guy is on top of his practice. He's engaged. That's the kind of doctor I want. Whether it's positive or negative, it's the engagement that you're responsive to that.
Well, and I'll take it even further. Practices that say, oh, you know, we're trying to get reviews. Okay, so guess what? When they're asking patients to post reviews, guess what the patients are doing? They're going there and they're checking out the reviews before they post. Right. They're checking out the reviews before I post mine and see what everybody else is saying. And when nobody's responding to those reviews, it's almost like the doctor doesn't even see it. The practice doesn't even know I posted this review. But if they see that the practice is responding, guess what? They're like going, oh, I want them to see it. I want them to know I'm trying to help them. I want to be the good guy that's trying to help you build your practice so that they, you know, we have a relationship.
Well, I've asked in some of our practice development consultations that we do to help practices re-engineer themselves or fix a leak in the boat, as it were. One of the number one questions I ask is, of the people that work here, how many have read the reviews on the practice?
It's a good question. It's a really good question.
Scary part, more than 80% haven't.
Yeah.
So you work at a place that you don't know what your customers think about you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're not even taking the time to check that out.
Right.
Now, what's the benefit of that? If you got a lot of negative reviews and the customer points out certain areas within the practice and you happen to work in that area.
Yeah.
That's a tighten up moment.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the reverse is, if the patient is giving you all these kudos and Sally was wonderful and Jennifer treated me so kindly, you're a doctor, you read that, your heart swells. You're going to call them in and tell them, I really appreciate what you're doing for our customers.
Yeah.
And if you're the employee, what a sense of pride it gives you to know that people think of you that way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and at the end of the day, we all want to, you know, replicate activities that give us great rewards, right?
Absolutely.
That's what we do. So when doctor or they recognize, oh, they mentioned Quentin did such a great job at this, don't you try and emulate that, what you did for
of
that
course.
Same? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it perpetuates good, you know, work habits, good communication skills. You know, I think it does all those things, but I think you're right. You got to leverage them, you know, if you want to get the results.
You got to leverage it. And you're still feeding that three thing, like, know, and trust, right? You're feeding that. Yeah. And we use the lead automation system to really measure and monitor, because we can send them all the leads we want, but if they're not doing the due diligence, putting notes in the system of the dialogue they've had, if the doctor's feeling like they're not closing enough, you just push the button on that lead. And of course, Google brought that in to us, but you listen to the call, make pointers. Did you, if you didn't get a conclusion, did you establish another time to confer or confirm, right? So again, the value is social media funnels give you enough information that you really can drill into the individual.
Right.
And you get personal with them because some of the questions go to the heart of their issue. Yeah. How long you've been dealing with this? What level of severity is this for you? Is this a 1, a 5, or a 10, right? Because then you're able to identify what the sense of urgency is to get in, right? And you can play in your consultation or your call toward that. Well, Sally, you listed that your situation was a 10, and it looks like you've been dealing with this for a while. Listen, we think you should not wait any longer. Let me get you on the schedule. Let me look and see what two dates I have here, and you can tell me what works for you. But I think at this time, based on the information you've given us, I think it might be good for the doctor to talk with you.
Yeah, I think that's great.
It gives you and them a connection.
Well, and I think anytime somebody is willing to participate in that information, you know, if they're willing to give that, and they're engaged with you, it kind of elevates their commitment.
Absolutely.
You know, it elevates the commitment level. So as much as a lot of practice say, well, I don't want to have something that has too many questions because then I'd lose
what?
Them. I think it kind of goes, there's a sweet spot where you become too much, but I think most practices fall short of really asking enough stuff. And I like the idea of the form that you're talking about, because it does elevate that commitment level from somebody. And it's not just about volume of leads. It's about the quality of the leads.
Quality.
And, you know, quality. And somebody that's willing to do that, there's no question they are further down the commitment level with you than just filling out a name and an email and a short block.
And that's the point of it. The point of it is it's social media. And I've presented something to you. You said you were interested in it. I'm trying to determine what level of interest do you have so that if that level is high enough, we've got a good reason to be talking to each other.
Yeah. Well, super. Hey, Quentin, this has been great information. I've learned a lot. I'm actually going to look for your email.
Okay, I will send them.
On those items.
Yes.
And I'm gonna let you end with one last message. What would you say to the practice that really is wanting to, you know, they've been doing this for a while, but really, you know, I want to take it to the next level. What can I do in my social media that can help me elevate my game?
I would say frequency, and be a teacher.
Educate. I like that. Be frequent
and educate, because we're all voyeurs at heart. And if we've tapped into your page, there are things we want to know.
Yeah.
And guess what? If they end up going to your website, why are they going?
Yeah.
To learn.
I love that, the teacher analogy, because I think on the web, and this is absolutely true with social media, you got to give before you get. You know, if you're not giving before you get, and everything is about a sale and what you can do for me, that follower, that engagement's going to drop off the end of the edge of the table really
quickly.
Be willing to be a giver online.
Google's the same. They will respond to you if you're doing blogs, if you're updating your website. So it's no different. Be a teacher, because like, know, and trust. And if you publish education, they get to know you. If you put your videos in there, they get to like you. And if both of those come together, they get to trust you.
That's super. Hey, Quentin, do me one last favor.
Yes. Yes.
For anybody that's watching the program today, how can they get in touch with if they want to reach out to you? What's the best way to find you guys?
Typically, I will accept a phone call, 407-702-4408. Uh-huh. Or you can send a message through chat on the website. We're easy to find. A lot of our business is word of mouth. We actually like it that way.
We
do look for business, but word of mouth means that someone really thought the job you did for them was bang up, and they want their friend to experience that. So, but yeah, any phone call or text, our website is smsdrs.com.
Okay, super. All right. Hey, Quentin, thank you again for all your time today and all your insights.
It's a pleasure. And Bill, keep rocking it, brother.
All right, man.
All right, take care.
Signing off.
All right.
Thanks for joining us for the MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui. Join us next week for another dive into all things medical marketing. All episodes can be streamed at www.medsharkdigital.com/medshark-insider.